Please open your pew Bibles to page 1275 and follow along as I read from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. That same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to the village of Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they were talking and thinking about what had happened, Jesus came near and started walking beside them, but they did not know who he was. Jesus asked them, "What were you talking about as you walked along?" The two of them just stood there looking sad and gloomy. Then the one named Cleopas asked Jesus, "Are you the only person from Jerusalem who didn't know what was happening these last few days?" "What do you mean?" Jesus asked. They answered, "Those things that happened to Jesus from Nazareth. By what he did and said, he showed that he was a powerful prophet who pleased God and all the people." Then the chief priests and our leaders had him arrested and sentenced to die on the cross. We had hoped that he would be the one to set Israel free. But it has already been 3 days since all this happened. Some women in our group surprised us. They had gone to the tomb early in the morning, but did not find the body of Jesus. They came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some men from our group went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus either. Then Jesus asked the two disciples, "Why can't you understand? How can you be so slow to believe all that the prophets have said? Didn't you know that the Messiah would have to suffer before he would be given his glory?" Jesus then explained everything written about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the law of Moses and the books of the prophets. When the two of them came near the village where they were going, Jesus seemed to be going further. They begged him, "Stay with us. It's late already and the sun is going down." So Jesus went into the house to stay with them. And after Jesus sat down to eat, he took some bread. He blessed it and broke it. Then he gave it to them. At once, they knew who he was, but he disappeared. They said to each other, "When he talked with us along the road and explained the scriptures to us, didn't it warm our hearts?" So they got right up and returned to Jerusalem. The two disciples found the 11 apostles and the others gathered together, and they learned from the group that the Lord was really alive and had appeared to Peter. Then the disciples from Emmaus told what had happened on the road and how they knew he was the Lord when he broke the bread. The words of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him, and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me." The Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, It was then that I carried you. This message today marks the second and final message in a two-part series based on the story we just heard Lydda read from chapter 24 of Luke's gospel, the story of Jesus meeting two of his earliest disciples on their seven-mile journey from Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus. That seven-mile journey happened in the afternoon of the very first Easter day, 2,000 years ago. A day when Jesus' first disciples were not yet all confident in the reality of his resurrection from the dead. This story from Luke 24 reminds me of the famous poem I just read, the poem Footprints in the Sand. Like the man in the poem, on that first Easter day 2,000 years ago, Jesus' disciples were fearful. They were unsure of God's continuing presence with them. They were unsure that there really was an extra set of footprints journeying alongside them as they walked. Their hopes had been dashed, and everything seemed uncertain. These past few weeks, as I prepared for this series on the Emmaus story in Luke 24, I couldn't help but think about the famous Footprints in the Sand poem. But as I thought about that poem, I encountered another piece of writing, a very different piece of writing, something that seemed able also to speak to this message of today's powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. The other piece of writing I encountered that seemed somehow connected to the theme of this Emmaus story was, as legend has it, written by famed American fiction writer Ernest Hemingway. As the legend goes, decades ago, Hemingway once won a bet among fellow writers that he could create an entire short story with just 6 words. Though his buddies doubted he could do it, as legend has it, he did it. A short story in 6 words. These 6 words. For sale. Baby shoes. Never worn. A powerful 6-word story. For sale. Baby shoes, never worn. These 6 words hang in the air like a heavy fog, don't they? They comprise a story that aches with grief. Grief over a child who died in the womb, or grief over a child who did not live long enough to fill the shoes. The grief of a parent who eagerly awaited the day their child would tromp about with those very shoes gracing their sweet little feet. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. This 6-word story is the story of a parent's grief, a parent whose hopes were dashed. It might be a story that belongs to some of you in this room. Or it might be the story of someone you know and love. Of course, it's possible your version of the story or your loved one's version of the story might be slightly tweaked. For sale, baby shoes, adoption failed. These 6-word stories are stories of dashed hope. And if you've lived a decade or more on this earth, sometimes not even that long, it's very likely that you have your own story of dashed hope. Your 6-word story of dashed hope might be something more like, spouse cheated, now what? Please help. Or, tried college, flunked out, what's next? Or, lost my dream job, clueless now. Or, fell off the wagon, family left. Or, plans fell apart, moved back home. Or, diagnosis, cancer, stage 4, call hospice. Perhaps your 6-word story of dashed hope is dreamed of marriage, motherhood, still single. In my life and in my nearly decade and a half of full-time pastoral ministry, I have encountered all of these stories of dashed hopes, all of these stories, and many, many more. And though the circumstances were very, very different than any of those mentioned in these 6-word stories, the theme of dashed hopes is the setting for today's reading from Luke 24. In fact, it's more than 6 words, but the disciples on the road to Emmaus told their story of dashed hope when they said this: "We had hoped Jesus would be the one to set Israel free." They didn't know it when they shared these words, but they were walking with the resurrected Jesus, their Savior and Lord, their Messiah, the one they'd put their hopes in, the one who had been executed by Rome 3 days before, the one who had been securely buried in a rock-hewn tomb. They were walking with the very one in whom they'd put their hopes. He was alive, walking with them that first Easter day. He was hearing their tale of dashed hope, and they had no idea it was him. See, Jesus' earliest disciples had hoped he would be the kind of Messiah they'd been expecting God to send for centuries. Jesus' people, the Jewish people, the Israelites, they were not a large group of people comparatively. Over the course of their history, they and their land had been overtaken by one powerful political empire after another: the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and at the time of Jesus, it was the Romans. God had promised a Messiah would come one day to save the Israelites from these outside oppressors. God had promised that someday a Messiah would come to set them free from the power of these foreign governments and militaries. Jesus' earliest disciples thought and hoped he was that one, the one who would save them from the power of Rome, the Roman Empire that was convinced they were all powerful and could never be defeated. Though it didn't happen the way Jesus' earliest followers were expecting it to happen, in Jesus they were set free. Because while we know and while they knew death is death, Rome could not keep Jesus in his grave. The reality of Jesus' resurrection is what makes him Messiah, the Lord of all creation. And this resurrection reality is what gives us hope in all things. Yet here's the problem we humans have. We may know and understand this resurrection reality intellectually. We may get it in our minds. But when our hopes get dashed, it can be painfully difficult to know and understand resurrection reality in our hearts. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Sometimes the furthest distance between any two points is the distance between our head and our heart. We can say in our heads as many times as we want to that our hope is in Jesus because God raised him from the dead, and that means there really is hope in all things. We can say that in our heads and completely fail to trust it in our hearts. And that's not necessarily our fault. Remember those 6-word stories of dashed hopes? Stories of infant loss, infertility, infidelity, confusion about the future, addictions, terrifying diagnoses, plans that fall spectacularly apart. Remember those 6-word stories? There is no diminishing how difficult those stories are when they are our stories. When those stories of dashed hopes are our stories, the distance between our head and heart can seem insurmountable, and we can find it ever more difficult to believe the truth that in the resurrection of Jesus, There is hope in all things. All things. The good news is that God knows this about us. God knows that we struggle to truly understand the good news of Jesus' resurrection. God knows that painful life circumstances challenge our ability to trust that God is working for good in all things, even in the midst of our mess of life. God knows this about us. So every once in a while, God becomes present to us in a mysterious way, simply to remind us we are not alone, simply to remind us there is good in our lives and in our world, even when our hopes have been dashed. If you've caught our newsletter and bulletin announcements lately about the sermon series we'll be starting in mid-June, and there's one in your bulletin announcements today, our summer ghost stories series. If you've read those announcements, these are the kind of stories we'd love to hear from you. Your stories of God appearing to you in a powerfully mysterious way, offering help or guidance or assurance at a time when you were in desperate need. Those are your stories of an extra set of footprints in the sand. Your stories of God showing up in the midst of dashed hopes. Those are your Emmaus stories. If you have a story like that, Pastor Mark and I would be honored to hear it, and we'd love for you to consider telling it sometime this summer during our series. Again, in today's story, Jesus appeared to two of his first disciples as another set of footprints on their journey at a critically important time. But while their hearts were warmed as they talked with Jesus on the road, they did not realize it was him until they were at table, preparing to eat a meal together. At that holy table, Jesus took bread, he broke it, blessed it, and in that moment of broken bread, the two disciples finally understood it had been Jesus with them the whole time. So, as we prepare together to celebrate Holy Communion, and as we soon take the bread and the cup, I pray that you know, that each of you knows without a doubt, that this bread and these cups are the tangible, mysterious presence of our Lord and Savior, signs of hope and new life, no matter your story. Amen.